Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Sands. Today, I have on my friend, Emily Martin. Emily is a doctor and life coach who is going to talk to us about what it takes to be a doctor of pharmacy and be a life coach at the same time, and maybe give us some insight on what she does and what we could do better. How's it going, Emily?
Hey, great. Thanks so much for having me, Nick. Appreciate it.
So why don't you introduce yourself, since I probably just did a terrible job of it.
Hey, everyone. I'm Emily. Like Nick said, I have my pharmacy degree. I'm a retail pharmacist. I'm also a life coach, and life coaching is my number one passion. I started this a couple years ago and haven't turned back since. It's where you can make the biggest impact with people's lives. In pharmacy, I'm really good at putting a Band-Aid on the problem, but I want to do more than put the Band-Aid on the problem. I want to find the root cause of the problems and help you create the life that you want to have and inspire people to take action in their life and stop watching it go around them all the time. I'm also a mom, live in New Hampshire, love the sea coast, love to be outside all the time, and that's basically me in a nutshell.
Did you only just kind of recently started on your life coaching path? Is that correct?
Yeah. It took I became officially certified last December after taking a 6-month course and basically going back to school, because clearly I thought that I needed more schooling. But really, you don't even need to have a certificate to be a life coach, which is so crazy. But I did it anyway, and it was great to get some, like, tools for my toolbox and all. But, yeah, and then I officially started taking my first clients in October of last year. So it's been basically a whole year, and it's been pretty amazing.
What exactly does a life coach do for people?
So I help people get results in their life, whether it's, like, you know, they want to lose weight, develop, like, stronger relationships with people, have less stress, less overwhelm, less anxiety. I mean, I think that everybody right now could use a little bit of that. Career changes. One of my clients recently, I coached her, and she left her marriage and decided that she was gay and wanted to be her true self. And so, like, it can really be anything, literally anything, but I help people with whatever comes to the surface.
That must have been extremely hard for her to go through. Change her life completely like that.
And she's never been happier. Like, yeah, like before, like we started coaching in October of last year, and she was dealing with a lot of anxiety. She was like binge eating a ton, like just really unhappy. She changed her careers, and then she changed her career again. And she was still pretty. She was pretty good. Losing weight, she came to me to lose weight, to, like, get healthier. So after the career changes and everything. And then in June, I believe, she was like, you know, I'm gay. And just like that, and she told her husband first, then told me, and then they were getting divorced and a few weeks later. And now she's happily with a new partner and in a job she loves and just doing really well. It's pretty amazing.
Wow, that's wild. And did you did you help her come to that realization, or was it something that, like, is that why she came to you, was to, like, try and work that out, or?
So I think that all the coaching, the cumulative coaching that we did, let her to actually feel her feelings instead of covering up with eating all the time. That was what she was doing. She never let herself, like, actually feel and be true to herself. She just tried to shove everything down with food. And so I think just the work.
Been there.
I think we all have been, more than once. And I think just, like, stop doing that and just, like, actually let in your body. Just, like, feeling the feeling in your body. Like, you're not going to die from anxiety. You're not going to die from sadness. We feel like we're going to. And that's why we don't want to feel it, because it's so scary. But if we just feel it and let it work and work through it and process it and everything, it's going to be okay. And then when she finally allowed herself to do that, that's when, like, all the magic really started happening. She even got a promotion at her new job this year that she started, like, 5 months ago. Just throwing that out there.
Wow, she's killing it.
Yeah, she's slaying.
What led you to making that kind of change in your life? Because I'm sure that, you know, deciding to kind of toss your old career aside and kind of chase after this new thing must have been, you know, that must have been a pretty big decision to make.
Yeah. So there's like kind of like two stories. I'll go with like the most predominant one. I have always felt like I wanted to help people, hence why I went to pharmacy school. I wanted to help people in a health related way. But my fourth year in pharmacy school, I was debating going to be a medical doctor and like changing my whole life trajectory there. Because I thought I could make a bigger impact there. I decided that was not true, and so continued on the way with pharmacy. Graduated, you know, did all the things, got a great job, you know, got married, had a kid, blah, blah, blah. 6 months after having a kid, I was like, there is just something, like, missing. Like, I'm still, I feel like, not that I'm not fulfilled, but just that I'm meant to do more. And it was just like, would not go, this feeling would not go away. So I was talking with my friend one night over a lovely glass of wine, and was telling her that I just know there's more out there. I just don't know what it is, but I just want to make a bigger impact. I want to help people get healthier. I want to help people like really start showing up in their lives and taking action. Like, you know, be like a coach, be like a health coach or something. And she was like, well, go check it out. And sure enough, it was a legit thing. And I signed up for a course the next day because that's kind of how I am. Didn't really think about it. Just kind of signed up and took the course 6 months through it and haven't turned around since. And I know that. So like the thing with pharmacy, like I said, you can help people like kind of on a surface level. You almost feel like that the pharmacy bench is like blocking you from making that deeper impact. And like as a coach, I feel like it allows me to like bring the pharmacy with me, but also I can take it out from the pharmacy and like walk my customers around and like really just like connect with them on a deeper level, like create that big change with the small changes over time and like be there to inspire them to like, yeah, you can do so much. So like a coaching allows me to do that. And that's what like, that's just so awesome.
I think it's interesting that you're coming from a medical background because at least when I hear like life coach, I think of like very crunchy granola, kind of like hippie kind of person,
yeah.
You know,
like just meditating all day long.
Yeah. And like, I feel like you're coming from like the science background. Do you ever find that those two kind of ideologies clash?
No, not at all. I feel like it's totally like it should be that way. It's like meant to be. I think health and overall should be like a whole team effort. I think everybody should have a life coach because how we do one thing is how we do everything. Like if you like are struggling with work, struggling with parenting, there's probably struggling like with your mental health, your physical health, like there's so many things. Everything goes hand in hand and everyone needs help managing their mind a little bit. And the coaching can help you manage that. And it just like shows up in every area of your life when you start like realizing that.
So what's the difference between you and like a therapist?
So it's a great question. It gets asked like a lot. So therapists, it's a really great question. So therapists do
original.
A lot of, what was that?
I said, I was hoping I was being original.
No, you weren't this time. The very next question. So therapy, like they focus a lot on the past and like working through the past and we touch, like a coach like touches based on like a little bit of the past and how like you've kind of come to where you are. But we really focus on the future and the action steps that you can take for the future and how you're going to get there. And we work on your mind like in the moment and how we can transition the mindset to further you.
So maybe instead of dealing kind of like past events and past traumas, you're focused more on like the practical kind of day-to-day stuff we can do to improve ourselves.
Yes. Exactly.
What's like the most common thing you kind of find in people? Like what's the most common thing you think you run into that like pretty much everybody kind of suffers from a little bit?
The self-judgment, confidence, like feeling worthy that you deserve all of like the good. Like we see in so many people and we're so quick to judge ourselves and every little thing that we do wrong. And it's like, how about we just be nice to ourselves, like actually show ourselves some compassion and know that like we're all human. We all are like, we're doing good just the way we are. And we just need to like accept ourselves for like who we are now and know that that's good enough and that we don't need to change, but change is available to us if we want to take it. But first you have to like accept yourself for who you are now.
See, that seems kind of like counter to what, because like you're worried about improving yourself for the future, but you also have to like be fine with who you are now. I feel like if you're fine with who you are now, then you won't want to improve for the future.
I feel like being fine is like okay, but like knowing that you have like more to do, more to give. Like a lot of my clients are like they're good with how they are now, but they know that they could be better. So it's like improving your baseline. So right now you're at a good baseline, but it's in, like taking it up a notch.
So it's kind of like showing people their potential.
Yeah, totally.
Like maybe they're more than what they are now, even though they feel like they are kind of at like the peak of their existence.
Yeah. I mean, like I am my own personal life coach. I think I'm doing freaking fantastic right now. Like not to toot my own horn, but like things are going great for me. And I hired my own life coach because I have the same mind drama that everybody else has. I doubt myself. I'm like second guessing a lot of things. Like I have a lot of fear, like with doing new things or something like that. So that's what a coach is for, to like talk me out of my bullshit and like show, like providing new ideas for me or new like truths for me, like what else is available to me.
That's really interesting. And what is it about? So did you have a life coach before you started life coaching? No, right?
No.
You just kind of realized that that's what you needed as well?
Yeah. I decided, like, I know how awesome this is, and I want some of this awesomeness, like, in my life. Oh,
that's
I went and found
smart.
Myself a general life coach.
That's smart, because as a profession, as, like, I at one time in my life was a personal trainer, and I can tell you that the most out-of-shape people are personal trainers.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, like, it really is an amazing thing to experience. And I think once somebody like experiences like a life coaching session, like, or multiple sessions, they're like, huh, even sometimes just like a consult with a coach can be really eye opening to like what's available to you.
We kind of talked about it a little bit before, and not to go back to this, but like where you're also kind of taking advantage of having a life coach, like it seems like, it would be easier as a life coach to kind of talk yourself into being like, no, I'm doing fucking great. Like I'm doing, this is the best, you know what I mean? Like, and kind of like fall into that. Like, you know, all the tricks to like tell yourself that you're doing good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally know all the tricks. And then I still tell myself like the same stories that a lot of us tell each other, like tell ourselves, like the stories we create in our heads. And you know, I can erase some of the stuff I'm telling myself, but there are those some like limiting beliefs that are really hard to like let go of because you can't see like from your own perspective, even with all the tools that you have, that there is another truth available to you that you can take.
And do you think that most people, like, do you think people have like a lot of different kind of problems, or do you think it more boils down, like the more people you talk to, like the more you realize that it's all the same?
I would say it's pretty much all the same. Everybody just wants to like do really well in their life. They want to feel like they made an impact in their life, that they're worthy of like love and affection and everything. But there are some people who it's totally outside the box too. I haven't experienced like a ton of that. I would say my client who came out as gay, I think that was like the biggest transformation that I've had, I think I'll ever have. And like Nick, that group that I did on Facebook, there was another woman in there who after that group decided to come out as a transgender woman to her whole family, which she had never done before. So like sometimes it's just like giving somebody that little bit of empowerment can do something. So I think those maybe are like a little bit more different than like everybody else because those are big life transformational things that are happening. But in reality, they're just the same as everything else we do.
Yeah, well, I could see how like those things could be comparable to like you realizing that, like, being a pharmacist wasn't what you wanted to do. I mean, you had, like,
totally.
You had all of your, like, eggs in that basket. I'm assuming, like, you went to school. You know what I mean? You went to, like, 8 years of school. You became a doctor. And then,
yeah.
which is crazy. I didn't even know I knew any doctors.
Now you do.
But it's just, that must have been such a big move for you. I just can't imagine, like,
yeah.
You know, you go through all that.
Yeah. The biggest move was, like, telling my parents that. It's like, you know, like, it's like, you're so, like, I think a lot of us, like, always are, like, trying to impress certain people in our life, and 100% me with my parents, especially my dad. I think because, like, they pay for a lot of stuff financially. They helped a lot with school. And just, I know, like, how proud they are of me as a pharmacist. Like, they love telling people that. And then for me to come and say that, like, I'm a life coach, they were like, excuse me, what? But they're actually, like, they love seeing everything I post. They're super, like, supportive and everything. But I truly believe that I went into pharmacy to get to exactly where I am here, and that pharmacy has only, like, developed me into, like, a better, stronger coach. And it, like, literally led me right to where I'm supposed to be.
See, luckily for me, I'd never have to worry about, like, really impressing my parents, because there was never any – no one – it was never expected. I've never done anything to make them proud. So.
Oh, that's not. I'm sure that's not true.
I can
coach you on that. Don't worry.
I'm just joking. My dad's listening. That's why I said that. I love you, Dad. my mom and dad are actually super supportive. They listen to literally every podcast and then tell me the things that I did wrong.
I feel like, yeah, that, like, someday when I launch my podcast, my dad will be like, you need to slow down talking and speak louder, because he tells me that all the time.
He always tells – my dad always says not to swear. Stop swearing so much.
Yeah, my dad tells me that too, as he swears at me, so, you know.
Well, swearing's weird, because I feel like it's not a big deal anymore.
Yeah, except now I have a two-year-old, now I have to, like, behave myself.
Well, see, that's, like, I think about it, and, like, I'm not encouraging anybody to teach their kids to swear. But I think about it, and the more I think about it, the more I think of it as, like, it's just kind of like this silly, archaic thing that we hang on to, you know? Like, don't teach your kids to swear, but, I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's just a word, you know?
Wow, that's so funny you say that. My little brother and I had the exact same conversation this summer. He's like, it's only a bad word because people said it was a bad word.
Yeah, I just, like,
and I was like, yeah.
I don't really, I mean, like, why, if you're listening to this, you better not be swearing. But, like, really, I don't, the only reason I care whether or not he swears is because I don't want him to get kicked out of school.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, nothing feels better than when you're mad and just saying the F word, you know?
Same thought. And I totally agree with you on that 1,000%. And they do slip some time in the pharmacy, and I'm like, oh, that was not good, but it's life. We're human.
That's one of the benefits of working in a body shop.
Yeah. You don't have, like, customers, like, necessarily right there listening to you.
No. And even if they were, they would probably just laugh.
Yeah.
It's kind of an expectation of the body shop. But
yeah, I would say true, for sure.
Do you regret going to, like, school now that you've, like, kind of figured out this is what you want to do?
No. I've created a lot of things for myself, and I think pharmacy school taught me how to work hard and how to believe in, like, possibility when you have no idea if you're going to, like, make it or not. Like, every single year was super hard. Every single year, like, you fail exams, you may fail a class. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like any college experience. You just, like, you don't know if you're going to make it or not, but you believe you're going to, so you keep going. I think it just taught me that. I am actually pretty smart, and I can work hard, and I can learn, and it taught me how to, like, really connect with people and to care about people, so 100% don't regret it one bit.
Do you wish that you had discovered life coaching earlier?
No, I think I found it at the right time. I think I found it when I was ready for it to, like, come to me. That sounds, like, really cheesy and, like, really life coachy-like, but...
I was just going to say, is this a life coach trick that you're pulling right now?
No, I just, like, I mean, I'm sure, yeah, like, maybe if it did come a little bit earlier, but, like, I was also, like, not, like, I became a mom. Like, there's just so many things that happened before that it came that, like, now I feel like I can, like, really focus my energy on it. I can, like, really develop my skills now with it. And I don't think I would have, like, made the time for it before.
Plus, you want to live a little before you become a life coach.
I feel like I'm going to live more now that I'm a life coach. Like, once I officially transition to coaching full-time, like, the flexibility in my life is going to, like, explode.
Well, I didn't know what you want to have, like, accomplished something. Like, you went to, you know what I mean? Like, if you were some 22-year-old trying to tell me how to live my life while living in your parents' house, you know, it's a little harder to – I feel like it's a little bit harder – to tell other people how to live your life if you haven't, like, struggled or, like, overcome.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, telling people, like, how to live their life as a coach now. Like, I'm really, like, you, like, bring the coach into the table. Like, it can, like, my client today, she was saying that she's really unsettled, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so we just, like, looked for ways that she is settled. Like, you know, she does have a good job. She has, like, a sweet apartment, like, friends, family. Rather, it's like looking for what's abundant around you rather than what you don't have. So it's like, yeah, and it just makes you, like, know how to transition your life. It shows you how you can grow your life because you ultimately make the decision. I can offer insight, but only you can, like, say yes to the insight or no.
And you said you were, like, a health coach, but it sounds like you deal with stuff that's a lot, like, broader than just, like, working out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like health coaching wise. I focus a lot on, like, diabetic management, especially for type 2 diabetics. So, like, one of my clients now, for the first time in 20 years, is under 200 pounds. Her blood sugar levels are, like, regular, like, getting well within range. She's eating better, sleeping better, has no migraines. Her heartburn has gone away. Like, so many things, because of, like, just, like, some health coaching. She started exercising, but she, like, there was, like, she started exercising and eating better and all these things. Like, it just kind of, like, it wasn't just exercise that changed everything. It was her mindset, everything. I got a little distracted there. So my dogs, like, ran around like crazy upstairs for a second there.
I didn't even notice. You're killing it. I actually feel like I'm a little underprepared for this, to be honest with you. Like, I feel like there's some questions that I should ask, but I can't articulate for some reason.
That's fine.
No, that's okay. I feel like this is much different than what I normally do. So it's like, you know what I mean?
It's like kind of fun. It's like a learning. And, like, now after you do this, like, just think of how much, like, your comfort zone for podcasts is stretched. You're like, I can have anybody on my podcast. Doesn't even matter.
Exactly. The type 2 diabetic thing is interesting because I know when I was training, there was a guy who went to our gym, and he was at one point like 350 pounds or 400 pounds. He was huge. And
yeah,
he was diabetic, type 2 diabetes, and was just not doing good. And he just started working out and eating healthy. And, like, after, I want to say, like, a year and a half, 2 years, the doctor said there was literally no signs of him even being diabetic. Like,
that's, like, so amazing. So amazing.
He said you can never be, like, cleared of being diabetic. Like, you're never allowed to, like, they don't cure it. But he said it's, like, he's essentially cured. He doesn't really have to, like, worry about it anymore, like, as long as he keeps exercising and eating healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, speaking of, like, diabetes, like, that's, like, one of, like, how pharmacy and coaching go so well together. Like, in the pharmacy world, a diabetic customer is, like, the customer we want to have because they're going to be our highest paying customer. Like, the average diabetic, type 2 diabetic customer who is, like, on insulin, therefore, like, they're not producing any insulin really on their own, They are a $10,000 a year customer. That's how much they're going to spend in their healthcare alone, which is just crazy, absolutely crazy. But the scary part is, like, it's not the diabetes that kills you. It's the wound infections that you get. It's the poor circulation. It's the strokes, the heart attacks. Like, you can lose your vision. Like, you may never be able to see your grandkids. Like, there's just, like, things like that that people don't realize when they get diabetes. I think, oh, it's just, like, high sugar, but it's so much more than high sugar. And I'm sure, Nick, you see this too, like, a lot of our, like, people our generation, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, like, really just not making their health, like, a priority anymore in their life. They're not playing, like, sports anymore, not really doing a heck of a lot. And they're trending towards early diabetes. And, like, those are the people I would love to capture the most, being like, no, like, this is your wake-up call now. Like, you can change your whole health trajectory right now just by making some small changes. Otherwise, you're headed for a really long road. And then also, like, inspiring those people who are, like, in the thick of type 2 diabetes, like my client now. Like, now, like, she's reversing everything just now. And she feels so empowered to be able to do that. I mean, if we can just get people to be living healthier, like, it would just be so amazing. So amazing.
It's unbelievable that, because diabetes, like, type 2 diabetes, not type 1, but type 2 diabetes is, like, a very modern problem. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we've only, like, we're one of the only cultures ever to have to deal with, like, the disease of, like, too much, you know, like, of having too much, of eating too much, of being able to consume so much that, like, it makes you sick. Like, you know, even 50 years ago, you know, that was, like, a problem everybody wished they had, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also, like,
And everybody's working against you because you have all the, you know, obviously all the major companies, all the food, major food companies, they want to get you hooked on shitty food. You know?
I mean, like, there's a whole entire cereal aisle full of, like, loaded sugar cereal that they are, like, enticing you to feed to your kids. I'm like,
and
can we just not?
It's all so good.
It's delicious. It's so freaking good. And, like, once you start, you can't stop. But it's like, here we are spending like $5 on a box of cereal that's, like, not even nutritious. And then people, like, whine about spending, like, money on vegetables because they're too expensive, because they go bad faster, because we don't eat them, because we don't cook food, because we don't want to spend the time to cook meals anymore and sit down and actually enjoy a meal that's home cooked.
I made a big mistake and I downloaded DoorDash. It was, like, the worst mistake of my life.
Yeah. It's like, go ahead.
I'm very cheap, so it hurts me in, like, my soul.
I, like, love to cook now. I could cook every meal and be content with that. And I know not everybody's like that, and I try to, like, remember that.
I used to like cooking. I don't know. I mean, like, I enjoy cooking. I like the end result, like, especially, like, because what I've noticed is, like, the more you eat out, the more all, like, eat out food tastes the same and is pretty much exactly the same. Like, you get sick of it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that when you're cooking at home, I feel like there's certain foods you can make. And, like, I don't know if everybody has this superpower, but I can pretty much take a recipe and the exact same ingredients and make, you know, never make the same meal because for something happens when it goes in the oven and it completely changes it. Never tastes the same. But I feel like you don't have, you know, you get just addicted to the, like, convenience of having.
Oh, totally.
You know, like, I get home at night and I'm like, you know what? I'll just spend $60 instead of making a meal for, you know, 15 for my family. I'll just spend $60. And they'll deliver it to me, and I'll probably order more than I probably should because I'm fat anyways,
yeah.
But I'll just jam it in there, just cram it down there because I can't have leftovers.
And, like, another thing, like, it's also the convenience of, like, going to the convenience store, like, because we're not prepared when we go out somewhere. Like, we don't, like, have, like, a drink with us. We don't have snacks with us. And so we go to the store, and we're like, oh, that soda looks awesome, or that energy drink. I'm like, if I can get people to stop drinking energy drinks, I would be one happy person too. But also, it looks like all the random snacks. See, my client thought that too, and she stopped.
Yeah, I don't want to, though. That's the difference. I like it.
See, then that's fine. If you don't want to, then we'll get you there at some point.
I'm happy.
But, like, it's just, like, the convenience, sure. Like, we all want more convenience, though, because everything else is so hard. So we need something that's easy.
For sure. And then you also get, like, decision, you know, because we spend so much of our day having to make decisions, having to choose, and you get, like, decision exhaustion and willpower exhaustion. Willpower exhaustion is a weird, like, I don't know if it's a phenomenon or, like, there's a weird human condition where, like, the more that you have to, like, control yourself, the more difficult it becomes to control yourself. So, like...
Yeah.
Right? Is that correct?
I mean, I think we just need, like, we need to, like, take less decisions, like, make less decisions in our day, like, set ourselves up for, like, the week where we don't have to make as many decisions, like, meal prep a little bit, like, or, like, meal plan, so that way it's, like, one less decision of what we're going to have for dinner today, like, or what am I going to pack kids for lunch, like, just take some decisions out of your damn day so you have more energy to make, like, powerful decisions throughout your day.
I've actually been doing this since I was in high school because I read some, when I was in high school, I boxed, and I did, like, I read a lot of sports psychology books because I had that was like my big hang up was I had a really difficult time mentally competing. And one of the things that it suggested was like always wear pretty much the same clothes. And like, I've done that since I was in high school. I'll either wear basketball shorts and a black t-shirt or a black t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah. I think it's actually Steve Jobs that did that too.
Yeah, Steve Jobs did do that. He always wore
the
same clothes. And that, actually, there's a ton of people do that. I don't know if you've ever heard of Jim Wendler does that. Bill Gates does that. There's a bunch of like super successful people who do that exact thing where they'll either have like one thing that they wear or they'll have like two or three. So that way, like, they don't.
Yeah.
It's not like a decision they have to make, because like I guess. As you make decisions throughout the day, like you have a harder and harder time making those decisions. Like it's like a muscle almost, you know, like, and once it's tough, like you can't make those decisions anymore. You're done making decisions.
Especially if you had like maybe a busier day than normal too. Like having that like mental energy at the end of the day to like still actually like decide on something is utterly exhausting.
This is a weird segue, but Trent, just hear me out and it'll make sense.
Yeah.
I recently started, so I've always, like, really loved playing chess. I love chess. And I kind of fell off of it for a little while, and I recently got back into it because I watched Queen's Gambit, which was wicked awesome, and I definitely suggest everybody check it out on Netflix. And I recently got back into it, and I've noticed, like, I never really paid attention to it before, but I noticed now that, like, when I play at night versus when I play in the middle of the day versus when I play in the morning – like, it's drastically different.
Interesting.
Like, my skill set, my ability to make, like, logical choices that are good. Like, I probably – so, like, I don't know how much you know about chess, but, like, there's, like, a chess rating. You get a chess rating. Mm-hmm. And I'm not good at chess. I'm only about 1,000. I have a chess rating right around, like, 900.
I've never learned.
You've never learned how to play chess?
No, I should. I should put it on my list of to-dos.
You shouldn't. Don't do it. It's awful. It is, because it's not like a hobby where you can enjoy it. It's like a hobby that requires like you to really actively get involved in.
Yeah. Probably pisses you off too a lot of times.
Yeah. I also have like this weird thing where like when I do something, I have to consume my whole life. Like I can't do things in
moderation.
Moderation. That's the word I was looking for. I have to do things to the point where like it has to basically take over my whole life, and I have to be like, I should really stop doing this because this is ruining my life. Chess is like it's a weird hobby, but I did notice that my skill rating throughout the day will go from like in the early morning, like right when I first wake up, it'll be terrible, like 750, 800, and then by the middle of the day, I'm probably playing around 1,000. And then at by the end of the night, like right before bed, I'm probably playing around like an 800 again. So like it's weird. And I feel like it does come down to just like those choices, especially like the more games you play. So like if I really get into it, I'm playing 7-8 games a day sometimes. You know, by the end of the 8th game, I'm so like, I've been thinking so hard so long that it like severely affects my ability to make like choices correctly later on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. It definitely does. And just like, there's so many decisions you have to make throughout the day. There's like, it's so many. You don't even realize half the decisions you're making.
Even, and I noticed, again, this is weird, but I noticed there's two routes I take to work. And I take one is like my normal route that I take that's a little bit longer, but it lets me kind of like mentally prepare myself for the day.
Yeah.
If I'm in a
rush. We all have those routes.
If I'm in a rush, I have to take another route to work. And I noticed that when I take that other route, one, it feels really wrong. Like it feels like I'm doing something incorrect.
Yeah.
Like almost like an Enter the Matrix kind of like feeling, you know what I mean? And then I also noticed that like the rest of my day is not as good when I take that fast route.
Yeah, because you didn't make the time for yourself.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or if it's just like the like breaking the habit, like breaking out of the habit. So then like the rest of the day feels weird. But I don't know. That's just a couple things I noticed. But anyway, that just goes back to like that decision making. Like sometimes when you have to make a decision, you make all these decisions on autopilot all the time. And then when you actually have to think about something and make a solid decision, like it can throw you off completely.
Yes. I think like a lot of people, especially right now, like COVID, have made a lot of decisions like for their family. And so they have no energy left to make decisions for themselves when it's like the most important time right now is to make a decision for yourself. Like they just like, they're just like done. Like, do I send my kids back? Do I do like what? Like all those annoying decisions that were so like, took so much energy. And now it's like, I need to do me.
Yeah, I feel like nobody's making time for themselves anymore.
You'd be surprised. People are. People are getting coached hard. They're like, I'm here for it. But yeah, it's like willing to say to yourself that you, that it's your worth to make a decision on. Like allowing yourself to be vulnerable and allowing yourself to say, yeah, like I do want to help myself right now. I think that's scary to say that you want help.
In your professional opinion, is there anything that like people should be doing during the day? Like any like drills or like mental things that they should do during the day that can kind of like help them be better or help them like prepare themselves or
one of the first things I do is drink water in the morning. It's like a huge thing. Like I just try to drink at least like 16 ounces of water like within the first like 20 minutes of waking up, and like just keep drinking water throughout the day. You'll notice like the brain fog like clears up a little bit. And another thing that like I do when I'm feeling like overwhelmed at work, I have like, I work 11 hour shifts and I have like a half an hour break in between it. And I will sit down and just like either put headphones on or something, but for 3 minutes, I'll set a timer on my phone and I'll just like shut my eyes and like focus on my breathing, like not fully meditating, but like just like pay attention to my breathing just for 3 minutes. And it's amazing like how refreshed you can be in just that time frame. So like those are two things that people can pretty much do anywhere, and that's totally free and available to you.
I used to meditate a lot.
Yeah, did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I just don't have time. I mean, like I guess that's an excuse. I gotta be careful what I say. Automatically catch myself.
Yes. I know. It's a total excuse. You have time to play 9 games of chess. You have time to meditate.
Well, that's different. That's kind of like meditating. That's actually something. That if you, because I also read a lot and I've read a lot of biographies of like successful people. And two things that I noticed that most successful people do is meditate and journal of some, like they journal some way, however they do that.
It's one and I journal too. And that to me helps a lot. And then I have a journal like I keep in my bag too. So if I like something comes to mind, then I'll throw it down in there. And that's like a new thing I've been doing for the past like year and a half. And that's helped a lot. And it kind of just brings a lot of things to surface that you maybe didn't realize is there. It makes you ask like more questions about yourself.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I never got into journaling. I did meditating. That was, again, I did that for sports though. That was like, just like trying to help with my boxing. So I would meditate. But I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh yeah. I just noticed that that's like kind of two things that like highly successful people do is one, they journal, do some kind of journaling. And like a lot of times it's like doodling or even like just kind of like mindlessly working out whatever on paper for some reason seems to have a positive effect on people. I don't really know what it is, but
it makes sense. That's why like all those coloring books got really popular like all of a sudden. It's because it's like that, like it lets you just kind of like zone out into something.
Yeah, I don't know. I read an explanation about it because Da Vinci was Leonardo da Vinci was really into journaling. Like he had all kinds of crazy journals that were like all in code and stuff. And he said it was just like a way that like if he got it out of his head that and like onto the paper, then like he didn't have to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Like do a brain dump is what I tell people.
Yeah.
Sell it all on paper. Yeah.
It probably would be good for people. Well, I've noticed anytime I sit down to try and write something, I can't think of anything to write.
Yeah. I think it's like if you have a hard time sleeping, this is like for all the people out there who really struggle falling asleep, then like keep a journal next to your bed and like whatever is coming to your mind that's like preventing you from falling asleep, just like throw it down on paper so that way it's like out to somebody essentially and it's not just in your head. And that helps does like is a good sleep tactic to have. With a good bedtime routine too, but like that's a really good thing to have next to your bedside.
That is a good idea. I've never thought about doing that. I know some people who do like dream journals and stuff, but I don't know. There's just something about writing all of my thoughts down that just, I don't know. I don't know if it's scary. It just seems like, I don't know. Just never got into it.
Yeah.
It just seems like it was like a lot of these things like take time and it always feels like we're rush. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
a lot
totally.
Feels so
our
packed
lives are all rushed.
That it feels like we don't have time to do these things, even though I know that's just an excuse too, because I've dealt with that. I dealt with that in training where people didn't have time to go to the gym, but they had time to, you know, at that time it was like Game of Thrones. They were all caught up on Game of Thrones or, you know, they were able to watch 7 hours of Netflix a day, but they couldn't find
go out with their friends or spend time on social. Like there's people who have the time. They're just choosing to do it stuff with their time differently. That made no sense.
To be fair, all of those things have like super addictive properties of the brain.
Yeah. I mean, I could spend hours on Instagram, hours easily, without even like realizing how much time I was spent on there.
Oh yeah, you can I do it all the time where I get caught and I'm like, I'll like look something up or like YouTube where you go crawl down a YouTube hole and then all of a sudden it's 2 a.m. and you don't know where you are and like you're worried the government's coming to get you.
Yeah, no, it's so bad. You just get sucked in. It's like you watch that one thing and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, there's so much more I have to learn and you just keep going. It's awful.
Yeah, no, it really is. They've definitely been, all these Silicon Valley apps have certainly done, they've certainly hacked the brain. Like, we just love shiny stuff that gives us feedback.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, now we need to find ways to be like, not resist the shiny feedback, but like learn to like live our life. I mean, the shiny stuff, like learn to live our life, like with the shiny stuff there and not have to go through it all the time.
Right. I think that's a problem that but that's kind of like a weird argument I see is I see a lot of people who just say like we should just get rid of it. But I feel like that's not the answer either. Like we should just be in control of it or in control of
yourself.
You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. Because I mean, there are some really amazing things with social media. Like that's my weakness with social media. there's so many great things that come of it too. And it's like, I need to realize that I'm in control with how much I expose myself to it. So what can I do like today to like reduce it or whatever I need to do? Like deleting it from my phone is not the answer. Like it's not the answer, but.
Especially like you need, I mean, if you're not on social media, like you need to be able
I have
to,
an online business. Like, I, yeah, like you know, that's what I do.
Exactly. Like, you need to be able to network and grow and be able to talk to people and connect with people. Plus, it's just, like, I mean, the phone we're talking on right now is, like, the most powerful, you know, tool. We've essentially outsourced our brain to this little, like, thing that we hold in our hand instead, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, we don't have to remember anything. We don't have to, like, you don't have to memorize facts or anything. It's all essentially the complete accumulated knowledge of humanity is at your fingertips at all times.
Scary, but
and we use it to watch cat videos. We use it to watch cat videos and porn. That's all anybody does with it.
Yeah, true. Most people just like use it to waste their mind.
If you could coach one person, and it could be anybody, alive or dead, who would it be?
Oh, I love Reese Witherspoon. She is, like, my idol. I know this is super cheesy, but I love all of her movies. I love everything about Reese Witherspoon. So if I could just, like, have a session with her, I would be like, great.
Would it be weird having a session with someone that you love that much, though? Do you think that it would get in the way of your professional or your ability to be professional?
Yeah, I know. You're right. It probably would. I find it challenging to coach with my best friends because I feel like I see, like, another problem that they're not letting on to. So, yeah, probably I would probably be in too much admiration to, like, actually focus on, like, my questions for them. But I do feel like I can coach pretty much anyone, so you never know. There's an opportunity there.
Yeah, there you go. Reese, if you're listening, give her a call.
Yeah, I'm here for you, girl.
That's how I felt about Muhammad Ali. Like, that was – he was always, like, this – he was – someone who I always admired and always looked up to, and I always wanted to meet him, but I was always super worried about meeting him because I was like, I don't want to make an idiot out of myself in front of Muhammad Ali, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, that's
totally.
A weird...
But...
That
no,
was
sorry,
one of the
sorry.
Weird things about, like, the hardcore and punk scene is that, like, you did get to meet all of your favorite bands. Like, there was never any mystery, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, your favorite band's on MTV and, you know, maybe you'll go to a stadium and there's like 10,000 people. Like, my favorite band, I could go to a show and there would be 15 people there and I could, like, hang out with them afterwards.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
It was. It was really awesome.
You miss those days?
No, not really. I mean,
okay.
There was a lot of good, I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a blast, but I mean, I'm having a blast right now. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
I feel like you just, like, life just keeps getting better. You know what I mean? I know.
Yeah,
I
feel the same way.
Like, I know that a lot of people have had a lot of curveballs thrown at them this year. But I think ultimately, when I think back, like, I just feel like life just keeps getting better and better. And I can only imagine that it's going to keep getting better and better. And
yeah, for sure.
Like, I can think back and think of, like, problems I had, you know, like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And, like, now I think about them, it's like, oh, man, what was I even worried about, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny, like, the story, like, the problems that we create for ourselves. Like, were they really that big of a problem? Probably not. But we made them, like, the biggest problem on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, like, our problems are, like, something, like, to us now, like, our problems now are very important. But to, like, Joe over there, like, our problems mean nothing to him. Everyone has their own insight on him.
Well, have you ever not been able to pay a bill?
Yeah.
That feeling of, like, not being able to pay a bill, like, is the worst feeling, at least for me, is the worst feeling, period. Like, that feeling of, like, there's not, like, I need X amount of money, I don't have X amount of money, and they could theoretically, like, whatever the bill is, shut off my electric.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that bill goes through and that money's taken out of your account, and, like, you get the money together, and then you get it paid, the relief is nowhere near, like, as high as, or like the good feeling is nowhere near as high as the bad feeling was. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
Like, oh, that's stupid. I was worried because I didn't have $20. You know what I mean?
But at the time, you felt like that there was no way out almost.
Oh, for sure. It feels complete. You feel completely helpless. Even just $100. I mean, not so much now, but when I was younger, you know, and I wasn't making as much money, my wife wasn't making as much money, or when my wife wasn't working for a very short time, she had lost her job, and mm-hmm. that point of time was very difficult financially.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just never felt like you had enough. But as soon as that bill was paid, it was just completely, it was like, you think about it. Yeah, right. Oh, that's what I was worried about. I was worried about because I didn't have $100, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's just, it's crazy. It's crazy the emotions that you can go through in just like a day sometimes too.
Yeah, it is. It's the human mind is a very strange place.
yeah. Very interesting.
But and especially the strangest part is that it's evolved to be this way over however many centuries or millennia.
I know.
It's like,
I know. Yeah.
This is the peak. We're literally at the best we've ever been.
And then tomorrow will be even better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Emily, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Nick, for having me. And I hope people just feel a little bit inspired to maybe make some small changes in their life that can set them up for success and a healthier lifestyle.
Oh, I think they absolutely will. Where can people find you at?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at E Martin Coaching or on Facebook at Emily Martin Coaching, and that's Emily EMILIE. And feel free to follow along and send a message if you want.
Guys, I would definitely suggest doing it. She's an awesome person. And at the very least, she's an excellent listener.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Nick, for having me.
No problem, Emily. Thank you for coming on. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
Guys, thank you so much for checking me out today. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Emily, for coming on. Guys, do me a favor. On Instagram, head over and find E. Martin Coaching and give her a follow. She's just an amazing person. She's one of my good friends. I would really appreciate it if you did it. Thank you so much, everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful day.